Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Look, Chris and I have just been having some marriage counselling between each other because I think for the first time I didn't say last episode forever, yeah. And Chris has pointed out he was just a bit shaky.
Are we not forever?
We are forever, which is probably not the greatest for you, but happy for me.
I'm happy with that. Who wouldn't be happy with that?
Forever.
You're a legend. Let's keep it going. Keep the good times rolling.
I'm so happy.
Righto. This week, we are all focused on Arik.
Chris, we're starting three quick questions right now. How do you pronounce the real estate company?
Arik.
Yeah, Arik. It is. So for those that don't know what Arik is, it's the Australian Real Estate Conference that is held once a year. It's been going for 27 years. They've just completed it. Usually there's a lot of real estate agents and buyer's agents that go up there.
Auctioneers.
But even it's
property management.
Property management, of course,
but I know they're real estate agent, but the property management side as well as sales.
No, that it's over Sunday and Monday. The Monday was property management focused, I believe. There is.
When you say I believe, weren't you there?
I wasn't there for the second day.
Oh.
It was very late notice.
Didn't know that.
Very late notice that I went up there. But there's also an expo, so if you're creating products in the real estate industry and you want to get up there. And networking, I spent the whole day on the Sunday listening to the speakers. So you do have to pay a little bit to get in to see the main speakers.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, the more you pay, the closer you get to being front and center. But it's not ridiculous. Like the top one was about $1,800 or tax deductible.
Of course, it's tax deductible.
When you have dinners, don't buy alcohol so you can claim it on tax.
What? All right. So in that light, so it's now been, 2 weeks ago since that, but we thought it'd be a good chance to divulge at least Kurt's perspective. I didn't go. I'm going to the REBA conference, which is the buyer's agent version or a version of it in August. We're going to do the same thing there. You're going to ask me some questions.
So who's the episode for? It's not just if you're in the real estate industry. I don't know the questions that Chris are going to ask me about, but there were speakers that had nothing to do with real estate. Sometimes they're about mindset. Sometimes they're about energy. So definitely stay tuned. I have no idea. The questions could be shit also. So maybe leave.
Jeez, thanks, mate. You're really giving me a vote of confidence there. All right. Maybe not forever. All right. Well, the easiest one to come off is who was the best or the most memorable speaker?
The one I took the most notes on was, and I really connected, Stephen Bartlett.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Stephen Bartlett, he runs The Diary of a CEO. He's the youngest ever person on Dragon's Den.
Yep.
But probably most famous to most people for The Diary of a CEO. Look it up. He interviews a lot of high-profile people or people successful in their fields. Could be a book writer, could be an artist, whatever it is. And he's just raw authentic. Now, unfortunately, he was recording, so he had to be zoomed in. But the quality was brilliant. And just the nuggets of gold he provided. I was writing down. I had two pages in our booklet, and I ended up having to go on the side and down there.
With spider handwriting.
And drawing arrows to be like, this is where you call
it. Okay, cool.
Thought process went. So he was definitely the one that I was like, yep, I had to try and decide.
It's good. Okay, appreciate that. Did you, outside of the speaker, just walking around, who was the most famous person in real estate or any sector you actually met?
I'd say John McGrath, the guy that has started up McGrath.
Right, okay. Oh, yep. Nice. I think you've met him before, I would have imagined. No, have you ever met him?
No.
All right, first time.
First time.
What's the number one thing that you took away that you implemented day one? You came back on Monday or Tuesday this week. What was the first thing you went, I've got to implement that from the... Could be anything. Mentality, could be software, could be...
Time management, but mentality.
Yep.
Just, we've all kind of got the same amount of hours in the day. And
we all have, not kind of, we all do have the same amount of hours in the day.
Yes. And it's just about how, often in real estate, it's quite easy. There's no other industry really in the world, for the most part, where you get to decide how much money you want to wake up and earn.
Okay.
So if you work, if you work in the ambulance field, if you work a teacher, yes, maybe as in someone that does shift work, you might be able to put in a couple more.
Yeah, it might be private school, you might get bonuses.
But you're generally sort of a bit limited.
Capped.
Whereas real estate, you can decide to, instead of making 30 calls in a day, you're going to make 60. You're going to make 90. You're going to put in more effort because the more properties as a selling agent you have, the more commission you get.
Yep. Yeah, the self-interest.
And
yep.
The growth people can have is just exponential. And so it was just about that time management and working out how much money you want to earn, working out what your hourly rate is, and working out, is this coffee worth this amount of time?
Okay.
Is doing this really worth that amount of time? Yep. And having, you know, you get told all these things all the time, but just having that mental shift of, there was one guy, his team was from the ACT. He was from the ACT, the second biggest agent there in terms of success. And his hourly rate, he said, you know, taking a bit of grain of salt, was $1,500 per hour. Now, yep. He was leading a team of a fair few, but he was like, I've got to work out, is this worth it? Is this half an hour that I'm doing here, is this worth it?
Yeah.
And using it for me,
an obvious thing, right? We talk about when people are trying to choose an agent, one of the biggest things they select an agent on is volume of sales. So if you're going from 30 calls to 50 calls and you sell more properties, it's actually more likely to get opportunities to even sell even more properties, not from having to make the calls, but because then you get known. And there are, we would name multiple areas across Sydney alone where there is an absolute king or queen of that suburb that everyone turns to. And everyone's like, oh, they've got it all too much, it's too hard. You're like, but they did the hard work. That didn't happen day one.
And to then tie that into Stephen Bartlett and the way he was talking, he was explaining that when he was younger and he was in the call center, 80% of his calls, no one wanted a bar of him. And then he got to the last 5 to 10% where he worked out, oh, they might actually be engaging in conversation. And he just then worked out with businesses he ran. It was... in his business now, they don't reward success.
Okay.
They reward failure. So, because he learned that the more you fail, the quicker you're going to come across an idea.
Oh, yeah,
and when you do finally hit that idea, because he spoke about Amazon, he's like, you've never heard of, and he listed all these things that Amazon, just great products, never.
True.
And he said, but when you hit big, you hit big. So it's obviously not telling your boss you're an absolute muppet and abusing him, being like, that mistake. It's just like, because then you don't know, they don't know what's going to be successful.
Yeah,
so
trial and error.
So it was like increasing the rate of failure.
Okay, nice. We saw a very famous previous VP from America, Kamala Harris.
Certainly however. Did.
My question would be, why would Kamala Harris, what relevance does she have to real estate agency in Australia, who she just ran a race to become president, was unsuccessful? What was the sort of takeaway points from her? What could you see the rationale for having her there? Outside looking in, it looked odd, but I'm sure there was a valid.
So I think a couple things for the females in the audience. I think it was definitely an empowering thing.
Okay, great. Absolutely.
The second thing, taking away, there was basically no politics.
Spoken about. Was that a clause? Do you think they said that she didn't want to have any?
No. There was just she. So she was, if you were to ask me, if one of your question is, who's your biggest surprise speaker? It was Kamala Harris.
Not one of them though.
Yeah. Not to get into politics, whatever side, but from whether you're the media's perspective, they tried to write some articles after and they were trying to get some political grabs and there was nothing to do with it.
I think the one I saw was, the headline was, she didn't have breakfast so she could, she delivered for the... Eric, I'm like, what? She didn't have breakfast? What was a win?
So the hour that she spoke in, because usually you see media clips and if you're on the Donald Trump side, for example, they break it up and they're like, oh, you make it look like a fool or whatever, and it's vice versa. But when she was there and just speaking about the challenges, like negotiation, because she used to be the district attorney of San Francisco or California, I'm sorry if I got that wrong, and she was speaking about one of the big cases she had and the way she had to negotiate and overcome it and the way you need to understand the other side and the way she really explained that. And it was John McGraw was asking some really...
So he was interviewing her?
Yeah, so they were both on stage and just the questions he was asking, it was... they weren't the typical, you know, what's your favourite... like, you know, those kind of things. They were really deep, hard thought questions. And there was a touch that she touched a bit on property about the challenges they face and how to overcome it. And then she also spoke about AI and the role that plays how sort of the implementation, because AI is becoming a lot more in real estate. And so, yeah, I thought it made sense. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. A big draw card. The thing though, if you ask Kurt, what surprised you? Or not what surprised
you? He obviously really wanted me to ask that question. No. Okay, what surprised you?
Not surprised. Well, they had 6 Secret Service agents. Two in front of me. And I tell you what, would not want to mess with them. They were scary. And
I'm going to slap them like you did a footy game recently.
Security, obviously, everywhere you went, you were getting...
Nice. I think that sort of covers off. I had other ones, but I think that really give us good.
I've spoken for a long time.
Yeah, you spoke for a while. I try to do it nicely, but you do rab it on. We have commented before. But no, that's good. Why don't we flip it to... what have you got for me for a bit of fun?
Okay, so last week, Chris kind of came up with this game. What came first? Wasn't chicken or the egg. But if you do ask me, I have my answer.
Okay.
What came first?
Yes.
REA or Domain? And when I mean the REA group or Domain? So.
The organization?
No, it's still so REA.
I would say REA.
Correct.
Okay.
1995 versus 1999.
Yeah, okay. Closer than I thought.
What came first, the oldest building in Australia or the British government officially authorising the establishment of a penal colony in New South Wales?
That could be a trick question because it might have been a building here before then.
No. Don't think of it as a trick question.
Then I'd say the second.
Yes, the oldest building, 1793. The Orders of Council for Penal Colony, 1784. 1785.
Yeah. Well, makes sense. I have to say to go there first before they build something. That's why I thought it might be a trick question.
Chris is silly.
I'm not that silly.
Last question.
Do you know what? You got all 3 right last week, and I'm 2 for 2 right now. Come on, what do you got?
Meat pies
or
hot dogs? What came first? Meat pies or hot dogs?
Oh, I'm going to say meat pies.
So hot dogs were made, I think, in the 19th century.
Meat pies. Shepherd's pies were around a lot longer.
Meat pies, 9,500 BC.
Yeah, so I got it.
Yeah, you did. I wanted to build it up.
That's good, though.
No, I saw the difference. I was like, that's amazing. Holy, that's...
Well, I figured meat pie because shepherd's pie and stuff's been around.
Apparently, it's back to the Egyptian times.
Yeah, makes sense. All right,
like that.
Homework. On me or on you, who's going this week?
Chris, it's you, mate. I'm always doing the homework, getting the A+.
That's not true. Also, it's got to keep it short and sweet. No, back to back.
A dick. You got something to say, Chris? Got something to say, mate?
You going to slap me like you do at football? Or? Yeah, see? I can bring these things up. No, very quickly, love a topic. A lot of, same as last week. So, do you have a topic of coming to mind that's talking about Sydney property, selling, buying, renting, legislation, a reprieve, schemes, drop in the comments. We'd love to have it because we would love to have an episode based on some of our audience's thoughts. Otherwise, thanks for dropping by.
Cheers.
Not doing that every week.